Welcome to this message from Eastwood Baptist Church, one church with two locations in Bowling Green and Alberton, Kentucky. To learn more, visit eastwoodbc.org. Now, may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
So grab your copy of God's Word and go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. You know, as I think about marriage, because that's where we're going today, would we be honest today and say that sometimes marriage can be really hard? Amen? Amen? Can I get a witness? Now, don't tell Christy I said that, right? I talk about other marriages, baby. You know, no, seriously, marriage is hard sometimes. And the Lord, He knows that there can be a fight from time to time. One day, this husband and this wife, they are daydreaming about what they would do if they struck it rich. And the wife said, oh, I would hire me a cook so that I could say, hey, make me a sandwich. And the husband, he just laughed and shook his head. He said, nah, not me. I already got one of those. And that's when the fight started. This other husband and wife, they were about to celebrate their 25th wedding anniversary, which, of course, man, that's a big deal, 25 years. And the husband, you know, they had agreed to kind of get something special for one another. And so he kept hinting around about his gift being something that goes from zero to over 180 in just a few seconds. And that's exactly what he got when his wife gave him a pair of bathroom scales, all right? And that's when the fight began. And you guys have probably heard this one before, but one day this husband, he walked into the bedroom. He found his wife standing in front of the mirror, and it was just one of those days when she just really didn't like what she was seeing, right? We all have those days. And so she said to him, she said, honey, I feel terrible. I just look old and fat and ugly. I really need you right now to pay me a compliment and try and not to disappoint. Like husbands, we are quick to please. But he replied before thinking. He said, sweetheart, your eyesight's nearly perfect. And that's when the fight started. Listen, marriage is indeed blessed, but it's also really hard sometimes. But as we come into this part of Ephesians 5, we see two things right here that will make all the difference in the world. All the difference in the world. And those two things are submission and sacrifice. You go, oh, preacher, come on. I thought you were going to tell us something that we would just love to hear. Well, those two things are biblical. You see, wives, according to the Word of God, are called to respectfully submit to their husbands. And husbands, according to the Word of God, are called to lovingly sacrifice for their wives. And those two things make all the difference in the world. Seriously, think about the last fight that you guys had, or think about the last disagreement that you guys had when you got really upset at one another. If wives respectfully submit to their husbands, and if husbands lovingly sacrifice to their wives, wouldn't most of our problems in marriage be solved? I think so. So why don't we do that? And the answer is because the lingering sin nature that despises those two things. Even if we really wanted to, the gravity of our depravity so often pulls us to where we eventually fail. But let's be honest this morning. It's not just that we want to, but sometimes we fail. Oftentimes we don't even want to. God says submit, but we naturally want to resist and ignore any leadership. We want to do what we want to do, and the idea of submission oftentimes is disgusting to our flesh. And God says sacrifice. But we naturally want to be selfish. We want to be waited on hand and foot. We naturally want to be lazy and not lead and not lay down our lives for others. Or we want to be a dictator and just issue decrees instead of being a loving servant leader. So we don't naturally want to submit and to sacrifice. But praise God that He does not leave us to our own strength, to our own devices here. It's like the early church father Augustine said. He said, Lord, command what you will and grant what you command. In other words, Lord, command me to submit, command me to sacrifice, if that's what you want of me, I only ask that you give me the power to submit and to sacrifice. And praise God, church. That's exactly what God does. And he does so in two ways. First, and we're going to talk more about this in a moment, he gives you and me internal power, power from within, through the Holy Spirit. But secondly, and you got to see this, secondly, he commands your spouse to make it easier for you. Both husbands and wives, you see it here in the text, verse 22 and then verse 25, both husbands and wives have commands here on them. And if each spouse will do what he or she is commanded, it actually makes it easier for the other spouse to do what they've been commanded to do. So a wife is supposed to make it easier for her husband to lovingly sacrifice for her. And a husband is supposed to make it easy for his wife to respectfully submit to him. Now in the text here, Paul addresses wives first. But I'm actually going to go to husbands first. I'm going to go to husbands first. I know in the flow of Paul's argument, wives come first. But I want to go to husbands because they're the leaders and their loving sacrifice really sets the stage for a wife's respectful submission. So we're going to address wives next week. So husbands, it's your turn. I want to invite you to stand to honor the reading of the Word of God this morning. Please stand with me. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 33. And as you stand, know that modern culture, y'all, does not tell us, it does not dictate for us what should be, right? Culture, modern culture is not our authority. God is our authority. And he has revealed what is to be to us in his word here, okay? And if it's countercultural, then so be it. I would rather be countercultural and with God than to stand against what God has taught. Look at what the Word of God says. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Let's pray together. Father, in the strong name of Jesus, I ask that you come and you help us. God, there are all around this room, marriages represented here, and future marriages represented here. And so God, I pray that you would just train us in truth, that you would bathe us in truth, that we might see the world the way you have designed it, that we would see the world the way that you see it. And Father, I pray right now for the man, woman, boy, or girl who's never turned and trusted Christ. They've never received the gospel, the good news of Jesus, that he lived and died and rose again to save them from their sin. I pray today would be the day they would see that, see their sin and see Christ crucified and risen to save them. And today would be the day, even through a message on marriage, God, that they would turn and trust Jesus and be saved. Father, be in our midst, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. So as you grab your seat, if you did not get the sermon notes in an email this morning, you can go to our Facebook page, Eastwood South Campus, Eastwood Baptist Church South Campus's Facebook page, and there you can download some sermon notes if you would like them. But nevertheless, here is today's takeaway, all right? Here it is, make it easy. I'm talking to husbands here. Make it easy for your wife to submit to you by being a spirit-filled husband who lovingly sacrifices for his wife. So again, notice here, you got to make it easy for her. And next week we're going to talk about wives, okay? But this week, husbands, make it easy for your wife to submit to you by being a spirit-filled husband who lovingly sacrifices for his wife. Now, our text today, husbands, it gives us six powerful ways and motivations to lovingly sacrifice for our wives. And each one of them makes it easier for her to respectfully submit to you. So first, our text calls us to sacrifice your flesh. Sacrifice your flesh. You have to keep in mind that this teaching here comes in the context, in the larger context of being spirit-filled here in Ephesians chapter 5. And so last week we read this, beginning in the 15th verse, Ephesians 5, 15 through 21. We read, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." And so if you remember last week, looking at this text here, I said that every choice that you and I make, it falls into one of two categories, right? You are either unwise, wasteful, and foolish, or your choices, your actions are wise, maximizing, and smart. And then Paul applied that to the sin of drunkenness. Right, we saw last week, the sin of drunkenness is unwise, wasteful, and foolish. But being filled with the Spirit is wise, maximizing, and smart. And he says here, he begins to list out these fruit of the Spirit, of those who are Spirit-filled. And it moves over into marriage at that point as further application, as further evidence of being Spirit-filled. So one of the fruits of being Spirit-filled is that husbands will lovingly sacrifice for their wives. Look at verse 25, Ephesians 5, 25. We tie those two together. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Christ, y'all, sacrificed for his bride. And so should we. Now, I have to admit, this goes entirely against our flesh, doesn't it, husbands? It goes entirely against our flesh. And as hard as you wives think that it is to respectfully submit to your husband, just know that lovingly sacrificing for our wife is equally hard. But husbands, that's our calling. That's our calling. You are a follower of Jesus Christ. And as Christ said of himself in Matthew 20, 28, he said that he came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And you and I, we're supposed to imitate that. Again, as we said in the past, not a dying sacrifice, although that could be the case in extreme situations. He's talking about a living sacrifice, living in sacrifice for others, particularly here in the context, your wife. Sacrifice for your wife. Jesus said in John 15, 13, he said, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friend." So you want to show your wife love? Then sacrifice your flesh for her. Instead of satisfying your lazy, no good, selfish flesh, Ben Simpson, we should be filled with the Holy Spirit so that we can sacrifice our flesh for our wife's sake. And when we do this, guys, you not only honor God, but you make it easier for her to respectfully submit to you. Second, our text calls us to sacrifice, to sanctify her. That's what the text says here. Look at verse 25 through 27. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, gave himself up for her. We just read that. Verse 26, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Friends, Jesus Christ worked that his bride would be sanctified, and husbands, that should be our goal as well. We should sacrifice to sanctify our wives. Now, that might not be a word that you use very often. Maybe you never use it, all right? I know it's kind of a churchy word, Christianese, if you will, but it's a thoroughly biblical word. You should add it to your vocabulary, okay? Sanctify. Sanctify simply means to make holy. As it says here, full of splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she would be holy and without blemish. That's what it means to sanctify someone. It's to be cleansed from sin. In other words, it's to make your wife like Jesus. Now, husbands, God, my goodness, this is a high calling. You are to sacrifice to make your wife more like Jesus. Have you ever thought of that as being one of your jobs? Actually, you know what? In most relationships, it's the other way around. Husbands are the one who are, or wives are the ones who are working to sanctify their husbands. But the Bible says it shouldn't be that way. Now, praise God that wives do that. But husbands, look at your calling. Look at your calling. You might be saying, well, I thought that was the Holy Spirit's job. Well, it is. But it's your job too. You are to be her spiritual leader. You're to instruct her in the ways of Christ. And listen, it's not because women are not as smart as men. No way, man. There are a lot of wives who are way smarter than their husbands, and that's okay. God has called you, though, to be the spiritual head. He has called you to lead your wife. Brothers, you are to be the pastor of your home. You're to work to sanctify her, to make her look more like Jesus. And how do you do that? Well, it says in verse 26, you're to do it by the washing of the water with the word. You're to bathe her in the Bible, cleanse her and wash her with the word, like real water cleanses our body. The metaphorical water of the Bible cleanses our souls. And that's a sacrifice, isn't it? It is. One of the reasons that many men don't wash their wife with the word is because we just feel ignorant of the Bible and its doctrines. And so what do? You do nothing. You just throw up your hands and say, I'm just inadequate. But what you should be doing is getting adequate, becoming equipped, digging into the Word, devouring the Bible, reading and listening to Bible teachers and preachers, finding a mentor who would disciple you. Husbands, listen to me very closely. If you want to grow, you'll grow. Plain and simple, if you want to grow, you'll grow. This also means that you have to sacrifice your time. If you're going to wash your wife in the Word, you have to take time for it. You have to get up maybe earlier, or you have to stay up later to open the Bible with her. You have to turn off the TV. You have to put down your phone. Leave that unfinished project until tomorrow, so that you have time to open the Bible with your wife, so that she might become more like Jesus. And guys, I'm not up here standing telling you that I've arrived. I've not. I mean, there is no way I'm giving Christy a microphone this morning. Oh my goodness, right? But what I'm telling you is what we've been called to. And my job is not to tell you what I've done, but to tell you what God has called us to. And together, we're to encourage one another toward these ends, that we might be better husbands, godly husbands, sacrifice to sanctify her. And when you do this, again, you not only honor God, but you also make it easier for your wife to respectfully submit to you. Third, our text calls us to sacrifice to provide for her. Sacrifice to provide for her. Now, this one may be the easiest one for you guys out here. Right, you go to work, you provide, you are a man who provides for his wife. Look at Ephesians 5, 28 through 30. The Word of God says, in the same way husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. Who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it just as Christ does the church, because we're members of his body. And so husbands, we see here in Scripture that we naturally love ourselves. And one of the ways that we show that is that we eat, and we eat well, where we nourish our own body. In fact, some of us, right, we're doing real well in that category. But when we marry, we're not just worried about ourselves any longer, right? We now have a wife to provide for her. That means you got to work. You got to work hard. We're called to nourish our wives, not only spiritually, but also physically. And so that means that you and I, guys, we got to be willing to do whatever we have to do within the bounds of Christian morality to earn a living for our families. And that means, guys, you might have to go work a job for a season that you hate. But you realize that providing for your wife is more important than work, place, happiness. A man's got to do what a man's got to do. That's the mentality of a godly husband. You must feel the burden to make sure that your family's provided for. Again, now that doesn't mean that wives should never work outside the home. That's a matter of Christian wisdom. That's a matter of Christian liberty. But it does mean that the responsibility to provide for the family is especially incumbent upon the husband if he is able. Remember in this text, the husband is equated to Jesus Christ. And the wife is equated to the church. So when you think about that, Jesus has provided everything for the church and nourishes it. And husbands, every day when that alarm clock goes off, you get the opportunity to honor Christ by sacrificing to provide for your wife. And I pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, that this will be a blessed motivation for you and to you. Sacrifice to provide for her. And again, when we do this, this is a common refrain. When you do this, you not only honor Christ, but you make it easier for her to do what God has called her to do. Fourth, our text calls us to sacrifice to cherish her. Sacrifice to cherish her. Look again at Ephesians 5, 29 and 30. He says, "For no one ever hated his own flesh, but he nourishes it." We saw that. "And cherishes it just as Christ is the church, because we are members of his body." Again, we naturally cherish our own body, but guess what? When you said, "I do," that woman became a part of your body. You two are now in a one flesh union. And just as you cherish yourself, you're to cherish her. In fact, I bet on your wedding day, I bet you said something to this effect: "I take you to be my wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better or for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to what, church? Cherish from this day forward until death do us part." You've promised to cherish her. And you know what? She longs for you to cherish her. She wants to be your treasure, your passion, the very apple of your eye. Willard Harley, he wrote a book several years ago now called His Needs, Her Needs, Building an Affair-Proof Marriage. And in that book, he lists what he believes a woman's top five needs are. And the top three have to do with cherishing her. He lists affection as her number one need. He says that from a woman's point of view, affection is the essential cement of a relationship with a man. Now, men, when we hear affection, we think of something else. You know what I'm talking about? That's just how God made us. But that's probably not what your wife is really thinking about when she hears the word affection. Affection goes much deeper and much wider for a woman. It involves things like, crazy things like, engaging in two-way communication. And we men are going, "Oh, gosh, oh." You know? It includes honesty and openness. It involves holding hands and spending time together. It includes gift buying and doing things around the house. It includes leaving a note or sending a text that simply lets her know that you love her and that you're thinking about her. And yeah, brothers, this is a sacrifice for most of us. And I know you ladies are hearing me say that, and you're going, come on, Ben. But it is. We men typically are so task-oriented that we neglect oftentimes the people that we love most around our life. But if we want our wife to feel loved, if we want her to feel cherished, then we have to learn to think how she thinks. So we got to get outside of our own little man bubble and sacrifice to cherish our wife. And when you do this, you not only honor God, but you make it easier for her to respectfully submit to your leadership. Fifth, our text calls us to sacrifice to cling to her. Sacrifice to cling to her. Look at verse 31. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Now, Paul here, he's quoting Genesis 2:24, thereafter God presented Eve to Adam in that first wedding ceremony. Husbands, you are to hold fast to your wife. Now, perhaps your translation says be joined or are united, but whatever the case may be, the idea here is that you are to never separate. That's God's plan for your marriage. Again, like in that traditional wedding vow, to have and to hold from this day forward until death do us part. You know, the word translated as hold fast here in the Greek is the word proskalao, that literally means to glue two things together. That's what it literally means, to glue two things together. But obviously a husband and wife aren't literally glued together. That would be kind of weird, wouldn't it? You have to decide to stay together. You have to decide that divorce is not an option. You have to decide that you will, with everything in your power, you can't answer for her, but for you, husband, you're going to hold fast to your wife. And you're going to pull her emotionally close and physically close, and you're going to resolve to cling to her and to never let her go. And again, yeah, this is a sacrifice because she's going to disappoint you. I know your sweetheart is nearly perfect, but she ain't. Praise God. There's room for her to grow too. There'll be times that she makes you so mad you can't see straight. There'll be times that life will be hard with her, and in due time, her outer beauty, that's going to fade, just like yours will. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, you cling to her. When should a husband stop clinging to his wife? And to answer that question, guys, we have to answer another question. And here's the question. When will Christ stop clinging to his church? Answer that question, and you have the answer to the other question. And the answer is never, never. Husbands, never stop clinging to your wife, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health. Sacrifice to cling to her. And when you do this, you not only honor God, but you make it easier for her to respectfully submit to you. Finally, our text calls us here, six, the last one here, is to sacrifice to glorify Christ and the church. Now, you may have never really seen this or put this together in here, because Paul says this is a profound mystery, okay? It's what he says here. Look at verse 32, Ephesians 5:32. This mystery is profound, he says. So this is deep. What Paul's about to say here is deep. I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. And so what he's basically saying here is that your marriage is about more than your marriage. You see, earlier in this teaching here in Ephesians 5, for the husband in particular, the Christ's relationship with the church was used as an example, wasn't it? Christ did this for his bride, so husbands, you do that for your bride. But here in verse 32, I believe he's saying something different here. He says it's a profound mystery, a deep mystery, But the husband-wife relationship in Christian marriage, here's what I believe he's saying, typifies the Christ church relationship on earth and in heaven. It typifies it. Now, here's what I mean by that. That's a theological term. Typology is a method of teaching that God has used throughout the scripture, throughout history, to prepare his people for something greater. So a type is a precursor to something greater, okay? David was a type of Christ. David was the lesser, pointed us and prepared us for Jesus, all right? That's what that means. So he gives us a type, something concrete, some person, some thing, some event, so that we'll have categories in our brain, so that when these bigger things come, these greater things come, we can understand it. And then he can point back and say, remember that thing? That's what this is like, so that you can understand it, okay? So it serves basically as an object lesson for us, helping us to understand the new, greater reality. Again, for instance, in the Old Testament, the lamb was sacrificed to cover over the sins of the people of Israel. And then when we come, that was the type, when we come to the fulfillment, it prepared us for whom? For Jesus. When he came into the world, it was said of him, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And so they're able to look back and say, oh, he's like that lamb in some sense. Well, guys, marriage, according to Paul here, it works the same way. Marriage has been around since the beginning of time when God gave Eve to Adam. And the marital relationship between husband and wife was a precursor to the relationship between Christ and the church. The husband-wife relationship is a type preparing us for the Christ-church relationship. And let me say it another way then. Marriage, the institution of marriage throughout history, prepares us for Christ and prefigures Christ and points us to Christ. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing what God does in his word? So guys, your marriage is about more than your marriage. It is a sacred institution that typifies the relationship between Christ and the church. It glorifies Christ and the church. And when husbands, when we lovingly sacrifice for our wives, and when wives respectfully submit to their husbands, Christ and the church are glorified. When we do what God's called us to do here, the whole world around us can clearly see a tangible demonstration of how Christ relates to the church and how the church relates to Christ. So husbands, man, that's a big motivator here. It's a huge motivator here. The fame and the glory of Christ and the church is magnified through your marriage. This is no small thing. So, brothers, won't you sacrifice to glorify Christ and the church? Husbands, if you would see these six ways that you can sacrifice here, sort of as a checklist, which ones could you check off? Now, I'm not saying you're perfect in these, but which ones do you do pretty good at? Are you sacrificing your flesh? Are you sacrificing to sanctify her? Are you sacrificing to provide for her? Are you sacrificing to cherish her? Are you sacrificing to cling to her? Are you sacrificing to glorify Christ and the church? And as I read that list, every no that husbands, you would say, no, I'm not really doing that right now, Ben. And there are things on here, again, Ben would say, I'm not really doing that right now. Hear me very carefully. Every no can be turned into a yes by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's forgiveness where you've fallen short, and there's empowerment through the Holy Spirit to do what God has called you to do. So, brothers, don't fill your life with selfish living, but be filled with the Spirit so that you can lovingly sacrifice for your wife. And when you do that, I'm going to say it one more time, you make it easier for your wife to do what God has called her to do here in Ephesians 5, to respectfully submit to you. Do you really want her to do that? She's commanded to do it by God. But do you want to make it easier for her to be obedient to God? Then you really need to do what God has commanded you to do here. Now, for some of you, that means you're going to begin by repenting of your sin and trusting in Christ as your Savior and Lord. Some of you husbands here this morning may not be Christians yet. And God has called you to lead your wife like Christ led the church and loved the church and died for the church. And you'll never be able to do that until you first give your life to Jesus. So I'm going to invite you this morning, husbands, and anybody for that matter, come to Christ and be saved. Here's my final prayer as the praise team comes. May your loving sacrifice, husbands, may it tear down every barrier to your life submitting to you. Right? Let me say that again. May your loving sacrifice, husbands, tear down every barrier to your wife submitting to you.
Hi there, this is Pastor Ben. I have something really important to ask you, but first, I want to say thank you for taking the time to make this digital connection with us through our podcast. I hope the message you just listened to was a blessing, but an even greater blessing than this digital connection would be for you to connect with us in person this coming Sunday at one of Eastwood's two campuses where we get the joy of living life together in Jesus' name. And now for that really important question, which is the most important question you'll ever answer. Where do you stand before God? Now, based on what you've done, the straightforward answer is that you stand guilty and condemned before God. You are a sinner who completely deserves God's wrath forevermore in hell. And I deserve the same thing also. I mean, every person does. Guys, that's terrible news. And even worse is the fact that there's nothing you can do in and of yourself to change that. You need a Savior. But I have good news. God loved the world so much that he sent Jesus to be your Savior. Jesus came and lived the perfect life that you cannot live, and he stood condemned on the cross, dying the death you deserve. And 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the dead to prove to everybody that he is indeed the Savior of the world. And now Jesus longs to change your standing before God by making a trade with you. He desires to take what you've earned, which is the wrath of God in hell, and to give you in return what he has earned, which is the blessing of God in heaven. When this trade happens, instead of standing guilty and condemned before God, you will stand forgiven and righteous with the promise of everlasting life. So what must you do to have your standing before God changed? First, admit to God you are a sinner. Second, hate your sins. Turn from them and ask God to forgive you. And finally, turn to Jesus in faith and love, putting your complete hope in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and follow him until the day you die. Wherever you are listening to this podcast, Jesus is ready to make this trade with you. And I pray that you would trust in Jesus and be saved. Thank you again for connecting with us, and I hope to see you soon at Eastwood Baptist Church.